This is DV, the boss man from VanDigital.com, and y'all listen to the Hip Hop Digest. Digest.
I can't have a problem with a man if we reach an understanding. If I sense that there's a problem, then I say, you know what? Let me call this dude. Let me see what. Let me check his temperature, because if I'm doing something that he think that is bothering him, let me set it straight right now before it escalates. That's true G shit to me.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ Ken Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, Z Green, but I should be G-Pack Dopra this week.
G-Pack Dopra?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going to just leave it at that.
What the hell?
Wow, a new one. G-Pack Doper.
Dope,
wow.
Yeah. Dopra.
Dessert.
Dope man.
Shout out to our Indian brothers and sisters.
Indeed. No doubt about it. Happy recording morning, gentlemen.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let's not keep the crowd waiting. Let's get right in. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is investigation into Jam Master Jay's murdered, now considered a cold case. Jason, Jam Master Jay Mizell of Run DMC was murdered 15 years ago. No suspects have been arrested or convicted of the crime. There's no need to talk about his name and legacy. Everybody who listens to the Hip Hop Digest should know. And it is now considered a cold case.
I just wonder, why is it that when rappers or hip hop artists or the music industry people in that genre of music, when they get murdered, they can never find out who did it?
Well, in Jay's case specifically, I believe I was thinking to myself, damn, who was Jay really hanging around? Yo, you know what I mean? Because, you know what I'm saying, if I'm hanging around my family and my friends or whatever and something like that happens, yo, fuck that. I'm telling the cops. And I'm saying that because when Jay got murdered, that was at the height of that Stop Snitching campaign. It was at the height of that shit. And niggas was thinking, yo, I fuck the cops. I ain't going to the cops. I'm G. I'm a G. Fuck that. And the people who was around Jay, who was in the studio or whatever, hey, they was like, I ain't saying nothing.
The thing about this whole G shit that you're talking about, which is fucked up, which is part of our community in a terrible, terrible fucking way, is that this G shit only helps out the niggas that's doing the crimes. It ain't helping out the motherfuckers that live there in the neighborhoods where the crimes are happening, where all this shit's going down. You're just helping out these niggas, these hood niggas that's doing dumb shit by not snitching. That's who you're helping. And yes, I'm part of the problem. I ain't even gonna lie, because I got that G mentality my damn self. Don't snitch and don't talk shit. Don't say nothing to nobody. But it's fucked up because it hurts the people that the most, that's in the hoods, and people that need the help the most. It hurting them by not talking. So, and these motherfuckers, they know you're not gonna talk. So they gonna keep doing the same shit.
What, do you think the police are doing the full job that they could be doing?
No, of course not. See, they're not doing
the thing,
that.
Right. And that's the thing. The police in these particular situations have proven not to be an honest broker.
Of course not, B. They're not helping them. What it is that they're looking at it like, oh, fuck it. If they don't care, I don't care. If they're not going to say anything and they know they saw something, then why the fuck should I care?
Right. I mean, again, but they're not doing it. They're at least by trade, you think the policemen, you know, these first responders, everybody you want to stand up and salute, are doing it because they got a higher calling. I mean, that's not always the case, especially in a lot of areas, urban areas. So, again, they're just not an honest broker. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It is certainly a vicious cycle. I think, obviously, once you get a certain age, that G shit, that stop snitching shit becomes stupid.
It does. And that's what it is. I've gotten to the age in my life and the point where I've actually seen, like, that was some stupid-ass shit.
I mean, I will admit as well, as a younger guy, you know, just some of the shit my family was into, what the fuck, I ain't saying nothing. But
we come from the same hood, nigga, so we know the shit that niggas was doing, and we ain't say a goddamn word.
Right.
Family members, like you said,
no
it's
doubt.
Like you ain't saying shit, and you like, I'm not talking. But just to not, I'm going to come back at the police, not to get them to fuck off the hook. A lot of them niggas look at that job in the hood as being beneath them, as being a fucking spot where they send you to go die. That's a punishment to put you in a hood job. You know what I'm saying? To put you in these spots, that's a punishment to them. Some of them niggas like, man, fuck this shit. I don't want to be here anyway. I don't give a fuck what these niggas do to each other. Fuck them.
Well, to talk about that other big murder that happened in Las Vegas with Tupac, as far as I don't know about snitching, but there's like 6 zillion cameras in Las Vegas, and for nobody to see nothing, no car, no license plate, no nothing, it's crazy. I live maybe a mile and a half away from Biggie, where Biggie got killed, and there's not like, you know, it ain't like DC where there's street cameras on every corner, but it's just ridiculous how these cases are just hanging and hanging and hanging.
Well, I'm going to quickly say about that Tupac situation. I was up on that block where Tupac was murdered, and that's actually a block off the strip. Mm. It's off Koval, and it's not like the strip proper. This is off the strip, so, you know, that's a whole nother situation. But anyway, it's been 15 years since the murder of Jam Master Jay, and, you know, I'm just, you know, putting that up there. It's now considered a cold case, and as in most cases, the situation, I still believe that, you know, man, Jay, you know, by hood or crook, he was in a real bad position, and so his family has not been able to receive justice.
Well, you think he was, and I think we might have talked about this before, and I don't want to, we're going to get off of it, but you think he was maybe living like he was in Crush Groove?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just would seem that way, you know?
He could have been living a double life, but it seemed like to me, like, the way he seemed, and I don't know him, I never knew him, but the way it seemed that he would, like, he was just was a giving person, and he liked to give back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So to a person like that, it's like you're not going to run away from your hood community and move out to Jersey and get away from that shit. He stayed in it and tried to help the people in the hood and try to help them come up. When you know niggas in the hood was still into what they was into. They didn't stop doing what he did, but they was doing when he left. So just because you come back and want to help people, don't mean they're going to stop doing what they're doing, and niggas get jealous all the time.
That's true.
No doubt. No doubt. So we say rest in everlasting hip-hop paradise, Jam Master Jay. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is DJ Ritz in this mixtape, the Gucci Mane and J Dilla Ice Cream Donuts. My first reaction to this shit is that motherfucker, he got balls. This DJ Ritz got a big pair of kahunas. He's got balls.
Cojones.
Man.
Wow.
To put them two together, let me go straight to the internet, because when we talk about this subject, it's going to be talked about at polar opposites. The first thing that I came to on the comments was, what the fuck is this trash? And then, this is proof that Gucci Mane can be hip-hop. Where do our opinions lie about this shit?
Wow. Ooh,
man.
Because I took about a minute per track. I didn't listen to the whole mixtape, but I took a minute per track. It was easy for me to listen only because I'm hearing J Dilla music. I'm hearing Far Side. She Said. I'm like, okay, shit. Not really even paying attention to what Gucci and them niggas is doing. That's how I listen to it. You know, I don't know about y'all brothers.
Well, first of all, I haven't heard it, and I probably don't want to hear it because the styles are contrasting and they don't match. But it also proves the point to me that these niggas can be hip hop, as the person said on the comment. Because it's the fact that you even gave it a listen was because of the Dilla beats. You gave it a listen because of Dilla beats, and I know I'm not going back into the argument about my peoples, but I was saying if they had beats, Dilla beats, you would feel more inclined to want to listen to them niggas because they have Dilla type beats. Okay. If they was rhyming those Dilla type beats instead of trap beats, you would be more inclined to listen to them. Is the reason why you even gave this portion shit even an iota of a listen is because they had Dilla beats on it.
I admit to that.
Well, because our boy Artemis, posted it on Facebook. I said, let me share this with the chain. So I don't know who else listened to it on chain, but I did. And I thought that, of course, I'm hearing Dilla's beat. So that already attracted me. And then it was the curiosity. How would Gucci or one of these other cats sound on Dilla?
And there you go. Bing, there you go. Because what I was going to say is this kid.
Shut me off. I'm just. I'm right at the tape.
Get your point out, B. Get your point out. Get your point out.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say that I did not hate it. I did not hate it. What it actually forced me to do was actually listen to Gucci. So I was like, wow. Did they slow it down? Because, like, listening to anything passing back when Gucci was the other Gucci, I would have never listened to that shit because I couldn't understand it. I don't have a tolerance for that style of rap. But to hear it on Dilla, I gave him a chance.
And see, that's the only thing I'm saying, brothers. Give my peoples a chance. But that's all I'm talking about. But I'm saying, from my point of view, I ain't got no problems with Gucci. I like Gucci because Gucci compared to these new niggas is sounding like Rakim. Just saying, Rakim only in the trap to Trap Nation and the Trap Nation MCs. I'm not talking about Rakim that we know. I'm talking about out of the he is the Rakim of the trap niggas because he was one of the niggas that was down there doing it before all these niggas was doing it.
First of all,
so I'm just saying he is that. He's that to them.
I got to cut you
to them
right
niggas
there.
Down there. He is Rakim to them niggas down there, to them trap type niggas down there. He is that to them.
Let me say it again. I got
to
cut
Rakim
you right there.
Rakim means nothing
nigga.
To them. But just, Gucci means everything to them.
Say. Yeah, I got to cut him, though.
Okay.
I got to cut him. First of all, I don't care who you use as an analogy. Don't never, ever use even Rakim's name in the same breath as Gucci. I don't care who the fuck you... Say he's the Ludacris of trap. I don't give a fuck.
No,
don't ever, ever say Rakim as far as that. So, first, I got to stop you right there. And second of all, DJ Ritz, the guy with the big brass balls, what he did was a very good optical illusion. Really wasn't even an optical illusion. Gave him credit. He put Gucci on time. He blended the shit out of those things. That's one thing he did.
Well, you know he chopped that shit up.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And put it like that.
Because
they don't go together because he didn't make those songs for that music.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the talent of the DJ or the production was at a high level because he generally had Gucci and his cohorts, including OJ the Juice Man and every Shorty Low and everybody else on time. Exactly. So I got to give him credit. You got big balls, that one right there. But the key thing is, could Gucci execute over these type of beats in a regular setting? Okay, we got a Dilla, we got a Primo, we got two joints coming. Gucci, go.
We don't know.
I'd bet against it.
I would bet against it myself, brother. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would bet against it myself because that's not the style he's used to. So I would bet against him actually coming in and being able to flow over them beats because it would take him a minute to even catch that style to get in and be like, okay, this is how these beats flow. Because he's used to a certain style and he's locked in.
Yeah, but wasn't it last week we were talking about having a real producer in there to guide a rapper through?
No doubt.
It could happen.
It could easily happen.
If Gucci was open to hearing what a producer is telling him how to do it, then yeah. But if Gucci in there like, I'm that shit, nigga, what is you talking about?
Gucci's that ain't shit. Work. What are you talking about?
Gucci is that shit. And I know
but
you said
trap music. They also it's. I'm gonna say this. I don't care who get mad out there. Trap music is easy to rap to because they just follow the beat when they're talking. So it ain't like they gotta be creative with it. They're just talking on beat. So not like the great Method Man or anything like that. I don't get catch King Killer getting at me, but I'm just saying it's pretty easy to rap to trap music. When you have a professionally produced hip-hop track like a Dilla or Primo or something like that, then you got to put some more into it.
Oh, no doubt. So that's what's up, man.
I see I can't say Rakim in it. And Rakim is the greatest of all time, my nigga. He's Ali. But to my analogy was only in the point that he is the Rakim of trap music. Because these niggas down there don't know who the fuck Rakim is, but you say Gucci and they all know who the fuck Gucci is. That's what I'm saying. Underground niggas.
Duly noted, sir.
That's the only thing it was.
Gotta cut you.
Where my butter knife at? No, give me the butcher knife.
Cut you right there.
Now I gotta cut you.
Yeah. I'm gonna get you like FT. Nah, man, that's too much love right there.
Shoot that crusty motherfucker off. I shoot it. I will.
So let's get into the next topic. And this is actually pretty interesting because we're going to talk about this, some of the same gentlemen, or at least one of them, from Outkast to Nas to Rakim. Is it better for our legends to burn out or fade away? I got this off of Dick Ride Blogger, and what he used as his template, and I got to give him credit because they seldom do this on Dick Ride Blogs. He used Stevie Wonder as the template. Between 1972 and 1976, Stevie Wonder made albums untouchable, back to back to back to back. Stevie Wonder was that dude from 72 to 76, and that's his template. And so I guess he feels that each of these legends had their time like that. But what would we rather see, a burnout or a fade away? So he talks about Big Boy, and he uses Big Boy's Boomerverse. He was like, as much as I wanted to love Boomerverse, and there's a handful of good things on there, the album completely lacks the lasting magic. Never let me squeeze you. So he's saying Big Boy out there, he's swinging, he's doing his thing, but it ain't Aquemini. It ain't Stankonia. Think about that, G.
I'm saying that in music, period, not just hip hop, these artists don't get to choose that, don't have that choice. It's not, most niggas get in it wanting to be, I keep helping bringing my peoples in, but most niggas get in it wanting 20-year careers. And I don't give a fuck who it is, one hit wonders to fucking superstars get in it wanting be around forever. But that doesn't usually get, that path doesn't get chosen for them. The consumer chooses that for them. So they don't get to pick where they go. So either they're going to flame out or they're going to fucking fade away because either niggas going to buy it or they're not going to buy it. And they don't get to pick that. They don't have a choice in that matter is what I'm trying to say.
Well, all of these people that he named from Outkast to Nas to have long careers. I mean, his next example was 3000. And he said he thinks that 3000 had it right. Hip-hop is about freshness. He said you can always hop, but you won't always be hip. So 3000 is saying, yeah, I might be respected, but I don't, you know, sort of like what you're saying, you don't always get to be that man.
Right.
You know, so would you rather see them crashing and burning by putting out substandard material or even putting out good material and not get recognized for it? Or do you just want them to just go away?
Yeah, I'd rather see them fade because, you know, in this TMZ world, a crash and burn could be the end, like for real the end. But and there's redemption stories all the time, but if somebody just kind of fades away, it still leaves you kind of hungry for them, you know what I'm saying? So if they come out with something else, you'll be like, oh yeah, I ain't heard from them in a minute. But if they crash and burn off some constantly in your face, you tired of hearing that shit, then they come out with something else, you might be a little receptive, but you probably won't be.
Okay.
I.E. Snoop.
Oh, that hurts.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, that hurts. let me go to the Rakim portion of that article. He said, what Rakim has done for hip-hop culture deserves a Statue of Liberty in its own right. You know, obviously starting with Paid in Full. And he said, Rakim will forever be a respected name in the culture, but the years between releases has stunted his growth with the new generation. It's old niggas, fossil niggas talking about Rakim. Okay? These new niggas, Kerr G already said it. These motherfuckers barely know Outkast. You know, forget about Rakim. He a fossil. And I don't even think a new release from Rakim is gonna help that situation.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't help his situation. Depends. Because the only thing I say about that, it depends. You're right, it does depend. But I'm saying it probably wouldn't help him in this new generation because the musical landscape has changed so much. And this type of music that Rakim would probably want to rhyme over is not going to be the type of landscape that's happening right now. I couldn't see Rakim rhyming over trap beats.
No.
Not that he wouldn't, but I couldn't see it happening. And I could see him getting Primo and them and back in the lab and saying, let's do this.
Shit.
And these new niggas like, I'm not fucking with that.
Rakim wouldn't even rhyme over Dre beats. when
is
he was
that
signed.
A crash and burn?
Aftermath. Well, I, as a Rockin' fan, I would have been interested. Dre's probably one of the only few guys. It's only a handful of guys that I would be curious to hear him over. You know, and as
well,
good as
he did actually in that one record.
Well, that Truth Hurts. As good as he sound on that Truth Hurts, niggas was like, oh shit. But Rakim to himself was like, I am Dusty Loops, East Coast. What Dre was bringing me, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
It was too clean.
So, you know. So let's get to the Nas portion of the article. He was like, Nas continued to age within hip hop. He's like, even through when the genre was shape-shifting, he said he's got his tied shoes to his, he's got his legs tied to his legacy, and then his future unsightly musical directions have hurt him. So basically what he's saying is Nas is a guy who's been around. You've got the Illmatic, which is Illmatic. And, you know, he kind of waded through, he was still in the game through the shiny suit. You know what I'm saying?
Uchi Wally days.
Okay, sure, fine. Uchi Wally, even though that beat is ridiculous, yeah, in my opinion.
Him, but
well, now hold up, and then you
you
know,
hate me now.
You going through right? You going through the Diddy? He waded through that. Shit. What else? Did he a nigger? Untitled. He waded through that, and then he gets to Life Is Good, which I believe is so fucking underrated. It's criminal, in
it
my opinion. Life Is Good is primo when it comes to hip hop, but that's again that's another story. Again, Nas is a guy in there. Do we want Nas to have the masterpiece? And then, damn, I haven't heard from Nas and like last time I heard from Nas in 2010.
Know, that's not another story, then, B. Because Life Is Good is an example, is a prime example of what you're talking about here with this article. He put out a masterpiece, according to you, with that Life Is Good, but niggas wasn't receptive to it.
Right. The commercial rap guys was like, nah.
They gave it the.
Right.
They gave it that, but to niggas that's really about this hip hop shit, that was some real shit. That was a great album.
Mm. So, all right. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think, and this is just me, I think I'd rather see my heroes go down fighting, especially if they gonna fight the good fight. Now if they sell out and they on trap beats, nigga,
if they still sound dope, I'ma still listen. But if they sound
right,
like
exactly.
Trap on trap,
they sound like trash on trap, I'm not fucking with it, period. And I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna do that because I hold them to a certain level. I like trap music. And these niggas that's on them trap beats be some straight garbage, a lot of them. But if I hear some of my niggas that I hold in a high level, like a Nas or somebody like that on a trap beat, nigga, don't you get on there sounding like these dumb niggas on there. I'll give them a pass, but I'm not giving you no motherfucking pass, nigga. I'm going to throw you under the fucking bus.
Oh, so Jada Kiss is still a pandering bear.
Exactly. I'm not giving Jada no passes on these beats. When he's on beats with these niggas, that's why I'm not fucking with Jada. He's going to have to come with something spectacular for me to start fucking with him again, because I hold that nigga to a high level. And for you to get on these beats and be bullshit.
Bodak that.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't take it, nigga. I was getting ready to get on a Jada Kiss rant right there.
Okay, now, okay. That's what's up.
Because I'm like, that's my nigga. How the fuck you going to go out like this?
So let me ask you, though. So to finish this, would you rather them fade or in the game fighting?
And I'd rather them in the game fighting, but fighting the good fight, like
you
said. Fighting the good fight. Don't be in here putting out bullshit.
So
don't do like G-Rap did.
Oh yeah,
G-Rap, but
embarrassing himself.
He embarrassed himself at one point, but he did come back.
Yeah,
last album, he had some joints, some quality joints on there.
That's true. That's true. Swerving, same thing. You're fighting a good fight.
Yeah, as long as it's a good fight, I'll take the good fight. I ain't taking the switch over. I ain't taking that.
Okay. That's real. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we want to say rest in paradise to Keith Wilder of the group Heatwave, who passed away, and people who do not know him. And it's funny, I don't have that topic written down. I almost forgot, but it just popped in my head, and we want to honor him because he is the lead singer of probably if you're of a certain age, the probably number one slow jam, with the exception this east side of Luther Vandross. He Always and Forever.
Still gets played to this day.
Still gets played to this day. Still gets remixed to this day. Young boys, you're missing something. If you don't know nothing about the red light in the basement, you're missing
they
it.
Don't. They don't. They know about the bottles in the club.
They know about getting lit. That's about it.
Man, fuck all that Molly shit, my nigga. The red light in the basement, my nigga, you're missing it. So
bunch of bent backs.
Yes, sir.
The low ceiling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Kurt G can confirm, well, we used to get our, we got our name from three in a row, my nigga.
We used to play two slows in a row. We played three in a row.
Because we was getting it in. But in any case, but anyway, we want to honor him. And that basically takes care of the entire balk, the trifecta of Heat Wave, with Templeton passing away. Keep's brother Johnny, who passed away, who was the lead singer of Heat Wave, and then obviously his brother, and we want to say rest in everlasting paradise to that gentleman, because from my money, Too Hot to Handle,
oh my goodness,
is what classic, is released in 1976, is you don't skip a track, both sides
you'll
of the
play
record
it right now.
Yes,
classic.
Groove line
is in
that,
my life soundtrack.
Come on, son,
classic.
But, you know what I'm saying? So
that's the definition of a classic.
And not to mention the too many to name hip hop samples that came from that record. So, you know, we want to honor
if you're curious, young folks, just get that album. I'm quite sure it's out there somewhere. Just listen to the album, and you'll hear all kind of your hip hop heroes.
Yes, sir.
That sample joints over there.
Yes, sir. So, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, now the first part of this topic is just a report. The second part we can comment on. Okay? The Rap Billboard charts this week.
Uh-oh.
The top three are Post Malone, Bodak, and Logic.
Okay, you're getting close, King Killer. You're getting
Mr.
close.
Mr. Cleo.
Mr. Cleo, I hear him out here. So, King Killer Cleo, call me now. I'm still saying
two
that.
Out of three.
I'm still saying at the end of the year, you got to have at least one black face in there. At least one at the end of the year, you got to have at least one black face in there still.
That's just this week's report. But we got a canary in the mine, if you will.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Lil B tweets about Post Malone's place as a white rapper in hip-hop. Now, Lil B as...
The bass god?
Yes, the bass god. He's been... what is a good way to describe him? He's been a type of an inciting personality since he's come into the game. You know?
Yeah.
He's done all kinds of things to incite, if you will.
And to keep himself relevant.
And to keep himself relevant. Anyway, the bass god basically said that his assertion that Post Malone was slowly turning into a white dude and would be fully country and hated blacks in a couple of years, a la Kid Rock territory.
Wow.
That's what he's saying about
Post. That's some King Killer Cleo for your ass.
Well, now this is a key thing, and the only reason why I'm bringing Lil B up in relationship to the top three rap and hip-hop charts is that Lil B is a canary in the mine. He's that first warning bird that you're going to hear at the end of the year or at awards time when white folks take a full sweep. But see, the problem that Lil B is getting into is that no one is calling out Post Malone for not even being hip-hop in the first place. You don't have this problem if you don't have a bunch of Negroes co-signing this motherfucker in the first place.
Well,
yeah, I wish y'all could see. Maybe one day people will be able to see the Hip Hop Digest, but B, your theatrics are just crazy.
B.
I don't even know if you can see him, Kirk, because he's behind you.
I'm on the board right now. I'm on the board right now, so I can't see behind me.
but he's right. You're right.
He's definitely not respecting it. Nothing about hip hop at this point in time in his career.
And I get what Lil B doing. He's going to pull the race card out because he can, and I believe the race card will be pulled out fully at due time. But you don't have this problem, okay? If you put non hip hop guys, non hip hop acts, non-rhyming people at the top of the chart. You don't have this problem. Now, let me give you another statement, and this is from Aaron Williams, one of the top riders of said dick ride blocks. He's one of the top riders, my nigga.
He's a top slide rider.
My nigga, I'm telling
you,
one of the top ones.
Him of D-Ride blocks.
Hold up, B. I'm about to cut you right there. I'm about to cut you. Mr. Williams said that Post Malone weaves back and forth between covers of Nirvana and off-the-wall rap singing. I mean, this is from a guy who...
See. But now I'm going to have to cut you.
Oh, you're going to cut me?
see, he was fucked up when he started the conversation. He's switching off the wall between Nirvana and rap singing. See, not saying that there hasn't been hip-hop records with rock in it, and there hasn't been hip-hop records with singing in it. I played them at the end of the show. I can't even lie.
Okay.
But, nigga, if that is the highlight of this nigga, you ain't mentioned nothing hip-hop yet. That's where you fucked up. You fucked up right there off the top, B.
I'm just putting it out there because, and I'm trying to let the Hip Hop Digest know the play here. The play is going to be at the end of the year when there's three or more white guys getting at the top of the Billboard charts at the end of the year reviews and awards. When black folks start pulling out the race card, I'm going to pull their card. Because, see, when he's pumping that White Iverson shit, am I wrong? There was Negroes backing Post Malone up.
100%, B. And that's where I got your back 1,000 when you come to this shit right here, my nigga. When you start talking, when Negroes start getting mad at white folks for doing what they doing, and when you was backing them when they was just getting started and backing this bullshit, and they was doing the same shit that you was doing, but then all of a sudden they leapfrog your ass and take over, and now you want to get mad? Oh, be mad at yourself. Look in the mirror, motherfucker. It was you that started this shit. Exactly.
As far as the race card, it stays on the table. This America. What you talking
about? No question about.
The race card never leaves the table. Right, I don't even know how motherfuckers got to pull it. You ain't got to pull it. It's right there in your face. Exactly. It's the elephant in the room.
Right, right. And am I saying my prediction being that white folks will crowd out the African Americans is only because, let me tell you something, man. You go to Post Malone concert, Joe, there's not a lot of brothers in there. That's just real talk.
It to be.
Yeah, it's not a lot of brothers in there, son. So, you know, you can say what you say, but we'll continue to monitor the charts each week.
Say what you say, but give me that bomb beat from Dre.
Serenade the streets of L.A.
No doubt.
Come up in the sack town.
Next up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. There's trouble. There's trouble out there. The corporate rapper, he's got a little bit of trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, corporate.
Not the corporate.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the corporate in a long time.
It's been a minute.
Last time we talked about corporate, we was praising him.
We was. 444. Yeah.
Okay, but there's a little bit of trouble. Jay-Z appears to be having trouble selling tickets for his 444 tour.
I don't believe that. How big are the venues?
Okay,
first of all?
Let me read the copy.
How much are the tickets?
Exactly. I'll read the copy and then you can respond. Okay?
Yes, sir.
The tour's opening show in Anaheim, California. Tickets are going for dirt cheap on secondary markets like StubHub and SeatGeek, as low as $6.
And I ain't got one yet. No.
$6 and he's having problems selling them out?
Okay. What's alarming is the fact that there are so many seats still available through purchase through the normal means of like the box office and Ticketmaster. For instance, Friday night show in Phoenix still had seats available. Denver show as well still had floor seats going for low as $69 through the official Ticketmaster agency. It is unclear why the 444 tour is struggling at the box office.
I know why it's struggling.
Oh, well, enlighten us.
If you want to call it struggling, because the nigga's probably still getting paid crazy guap. But since we're calling it struggling, I know why it's struggling. It's struggling because that last album was not something that the people that actually go to his concerts, that he would actually get to go there, was feeling.
What?
They wasn't feeling that. Jay-Z, like you said, Jay-Z's known more for who?
No,
we don't want to go bzzz. He's no more for that.
Right, right, no doubt.
And she got a new project supposed to be dropping soon. But anyway.
So
I'm saying that he...
You mean the ticket-buying audience wanted another Blueprint 3?
They wanted something similar to that, or they wanted him and Kanye to reunite and do another one of them.
No!
King of the Throne 2.
No!
You might watch the Throne 2, should I say.
I can't believe it. I take no pleasure in...
I don't believe you.
I take no... No, this is real talk. I take no pleasure because I believe that 444 was an honest effort, okay, that we always ask for our commercial brethren.
Exactly.
I think it was an honest effort for Jay to go back to hip hop, really, even though Jay really was on that new York shit.
Yeah, a lot of loops and shit.
Yeah, just a lot of loops and shit. He was really on that new York shit. I think there were some other problems with the album that came out later, but the point is that the ticket buying audience wanted another Blueprint 3. They wanted.
I think he alienated all those people that was into that stuff, with especially with that money to the ear thing.
Right,
They made that bigger than life. That one line and one song on that whole album.
Right, because what happened is once they
destroyed that other bass.
Exactly, because see, in this time when just one statement could ruin your whole life easily, because niggas will fucking make a meme, will fucking repeat that shit. Once it goes viral, your whole career could just die overnight.
Or live
overnight. You can become a superstar overnight off the same shit.
Yeah, but I believe, and this is just me, I believe the only mistake that Hov made here was believing that he's going to do arenas when he really should have dialed it down to 930 Club style. Okay, that protects, because what that does is get a sold out show, and he can claim sold out, and 930 Club style, he can charge $200 a ticket and get it.
Because there's only limited amount of
seats.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like, you know, we have Jay saying, damn, I'm at arena. So when you do arena, you got the Blueprint 3 people who are going to show up, and then you got Reasonable Doubt people who are going to show up. And they want you to do that shit.
Right. And if you got to lean one way or the other, and like I said, if he did that tour and he did that Reasonable Doubt type of tour, he would get more people in there on a smaller arena. Because like niggas like us would be like, okay, the niggas like us that can afford to go in there, should I say,
right,
would be wanting to get them $200 tickets, like, yo, I want to hear this nigga do those joints.
Right. Right.
So let me ask you then, since that previous topic, is this the beginning of a crash and burn, maybe?
No. Because
Jay's a chameleon.
Yeah, he's got too much. See, his ultimate wealth, it insulates him from any real criticism. The overall wealth will insulate him. You guys talked about a statement when he said the death of Auto-Tune. That was another statement. I mean, Young Boys literally was like, fuck Jay, I'm still on this Auto-Tune.
And so was he when you switched the track.
Well,
he's on it too. So that didn't count.
But I'm just saying, as far as young guys, when you get money and then you got a wife like he's got, that's going to insulate you. I mean,
you better leave that nest alone.
We don't call him by name.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You're the only one putting a spotlight on it.
Yeah, okay. I say what I say, yo, and that's paying respect. Bzz. So. I mean, Jay's gonna be all right. Ultimately, I just found it interesting. I just believe that in this particular situation, after an album like 444, I'm surprised Jay didn't dial it down the venue size. I'm surprised at that.
This is gonna do is gonna do two things for it. Either one or two things. Either this is gonna be Jay's retirement, he's done completely with music, or he's gonna go back in the lab and be in with Gucci and all these niggas trying to put out an album that we thought he was gonna put out this time.
Actually, I think it's I think the other shoe that may drop, he'll do one more with Wifey to seal it up, and then come in with the triumphant stadium tour. Because once you involve Wifey, That's your stadium.
Well, wifey does the stadiums by herself. Wifey could do stadiums by herself. She don't need husband.
Yeah, she don't, but I'm just saying, I could see him sealing it up, you know. If he wanted to sew it up, he'll sew it up with one more with wifey and then do stadiums. Yes. And then...
This nigga
is
in the back.
He's in the back choking on a chicken bone.
I ain't scared. I can say her name.
Say her name. Say her name. Yeah. Okay.
JB. Hey, you take it from
Destiny's
me.
Child,
the
nigga.
Last time I said that, boy, I got roughed up. So that's what's up. Next stop, going to Hip Hop Digest is DJ Premier helps relaunch Payday Records with the new single featuring ASAP Ferg.
Oh, shit.
For those of you who don't realize, Payday Records is a New York-based hip-hop label that was launched in 1992 by Patrick Moxley.
Yes.
The glory years were from 92 to 98. They had a crazy number of people who recorded for them. Some you would be surprised. J.Rue the Damager, obviously. Jay-Z, just for a single, but he did record on Payday. Mos Def with his first group, Urban Thermodynamics. How many of you got a couple 12 inches from them? I got at least one.
All right.
Showbiz and AG. WC and the Mad Circle. Group Home, OC. That is a very, very good list of hip-hop luminaries who recorded for Payday Records. Not to mention Guru solo projects, Premier mixtapes, all the above. Payday Records, yo. It's almost like a label lesson. If you will.
Yes, sir. And this nigga just has to be low-key bragging. That wasn't even low-key bragging. That was just straight-up bragging. I got at least one.
Hey, let me tell you something.
That was in your face.
In your face.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Spike.
There are guys out there. Shout out to DJ Q, whose record game is crazy. Houston Socialite be posting. She posted that Jay Dilla and them niggas, that early Payday joint, yo. That's just worth like $100, okay? So there's people out there doing their thing. You know, I'm not low-key bragging. I'm just saying.
But they ain't putting it out on the show, though.
Nigga, they putting it on the gram. So so you can call it what you want. You know what I mean?
This nigga said the gram.
Yes, he did.
He don't even be on the gram.
He said the gram. He's pronouncing it right and shit. The gram. Nigga, the IG, nigga. IG.
Yo, then, you know, if I'm saying it, it's about to be yesterday's news.
So. Oh, shit.
So, anyway, but getting back to Payday Records, you got DJ Premier featuring ASAP Ferg, the new joint, Our Streets. And Ferg basically said he wanted to show people that, you know, that I come from the 90s. I'm trained in the 90s, that I can get on a Primo beat and do this.
But I've heard a couple of Ferg joints that I like. Yeah. So I'm not. I'm
that
not...
joint with Method Man was him, right?
I think so.
Yes.
Yes, that was him.
Yes.
It was fire.
That was, yeah. So I don't doubt that Ferg is nice.
No, I don't think people are saying that, but when you put the name ASAP in front of it, it has a negative connotation.
Because of Rocky. That's why. Because of Rocky, and that's why, niggas. That ASAP Rock shit, that nigga, yo, some of the shit he was doing, yo, niggas is like, I don't know. And just
hey, Rocky. Must be full of rabbit out of my hat.
Hey, Rocco.
Oh, God.
So... anyway,
too early for this shit.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, shout out to Premier and shout out to Payday Records, Patrick Moxley, the whole staff over there. I only got one piece of advice for these brothers. And the thing that always endeared me to Payday Records is that when you bought a Payday Records 12-inch, that you're getting the vocal, you're getting the instrumental, maybe a cappella, maybe a dub. When are we going to return to the full 12-inch release, even if it's digital? I'm going to be honest with you. I would buy digital if I bought, let's say, if they had it on, let's say, your local retailer or your big money retailer for $1.29, $2 digital, but I'm getting the full 12-inch. Okay? I'm getting the vocal. I'm getting the instrumental. I'm getting a dub. I'm getting a cappella something. Give me the full jump off. I'd buy. I will not buy. I'll buy pseudo by streaming, but I will not buy cash money, good money, for one single solitary file. But go ahead. You have to cut.
I have to cut you just a little bit. Some niggas is doing that. I be seeing that in my travels. That some people do put out the whole shit
That's
with
true.
Instrumental, acapella, and all that. Some niggas do be doing that, but not. It isn't like it used to be where that was just the norm.
Right.
Right. It's not the norm anymore.
Right.
Right. So that's all I'm saying. Again, hip hop, step your game up. That's all. And shout to Payday Records.
Shoot, you could put all of them on different tracks and get you $1.29 four times.
I mean, look, if they'd at least put it out. I know what you're saying. You're right. There's a way you could probably monetize that, because I'm saying if I bought it back in the days, $3.99, $4.99, and you getting, you know, the vocal, the instrumental, the acapella, dub, remixes, something, you know, and I was paying that. So, you know, just food for thought. Yo, somebody out there, let's get it popping. So, all right, next up, going to Hip Hop Digest, Static Selector's forthcoming album, 8. He's proving that he's a man of his word. The Roc Nation affiliate is stuffed with 18 tracks. Now, he said he wanted to be the new Khaled. He's spending his budget wisely, because he didn't have money to get Rihanna on hooks. He didn't have money to get Wifey. He didn't have that type of budget. But yeah, you know. But he did spend some money. And some of the more popular rap acts on the record are 2 Chainz and Wiz Khalifa.
Okay, he's connected with 2 Chainz.
Okay. G-Eazy. Be Real and Everlast. Wale, I like to call him Whale.
I'm not mad at Wale.
Okay.
Wale got skills.
The late, great Prodigy. Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels, I like that.
And Action Bronson.
I like that.
Okay. He didn't have the real money for that, you know, that type of...
But most of those...
Fetty Wap, Hook, and 2 Chainz, that type of shit.
Well, most of those connections he's already had. So that's not bad. At least he's keeping some of the same people in the camp. So I like that.
He got them off-Broadway heads.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sorry. I mean, but Roc Nation, he's had a budget, but he didn't blow his wad on the budget. Obviously. Yeah,
well, hopefully the music will...
Well, the music will be quality, because he got, I like his tracks.
Okay, but he said he wanted to be the new Khaled.
And see, if Khaled, the new Khaled means that he, all Khaled does is just yell on the records. Basically, he picks the beats and yells on the records.
Oh, jumping in front of the talent?
I don't know if he's jumping in front of the talent. I won't throw him under the bus like that.
Okay.
But he is, all he does is pick beats.
Who's the first voice you hear on a Khaled record?
Him, pretty much.
Okay, but my question is, does Static Selector start bending the yoke, if you will, a little bit towards a little bit of pop, a little bit of more accessibility for the ticket buying audience?
We'll see.
Did you hear the names that you said?
Yeah, I can't see him that being pop. Now,
did he? I'm sorry. I mean, I was listening, but did you even say terminology?
No, he didn't.
No, and I'm sure I pulled the pop names off.
Terminology. Okay.
There's a whole bunch of.
I'm putting it like this. Now, I'm putting good money on the fact that terminology, I know he on at least one track. Even if he's just featuring with somebody else. But that's his nigga.
No doubt.
So I know terminology is going to be on at least one track.
No doubt. I guess the only point I'm saying is that that's why it's 18 tracks. There's a whole bunch of other things on there. Okay. No doubt about it. But what I'm asking is, does he start to bend the yoke towards a more commercial accessibility toward a ticket-buying audience with a Wiz Khalifa and 2 Chainz? Does the track start to look like and sound like and be like and taste like a Khaled salad? If you will.
Well, put it like this, B. It can only go that direction according to the talent that you got on there. Now, you say with 2 Chainz. Now, that 2 Chainz record, we like that joint. We were surprisingly like that joint.
Yes.
We did. So if he stays on that same style, there is a market. Because that Run the Jews, them shows, them niggas be doing that small venue. They be selling the fuck out.
No doubt.
Run the Jews, that's a nice little crowd right there. So if he's getting into that lane with that Run the Jews lane, that's not a bad lane to be in.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Wiz Khalifa. I mean, look, let me tell you something. Wiz Khalifa has the largest streaming thing on YouTube, I think, no, or in second place or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a big budget person right there. I mean, so I don't know. Can I see Wiz Khalifa coming in rhyming over breakbeats without harmonizing auto-tune?
I can. I think Woods got a little bit of skill. He ain't fucking that whack. He's not that. He came and Wiz came in right before all the super whack niggas started coming in and taking over. So I give Wiz that kind of props that he do have some rhyme skills.
Okay, that's real. But only person that I really even heard you shudder at was G-Eazy.
I only shudder at because G-Eazy is super pop.
Okay, no doubt. And that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at the names. You know, Wale, he still got some pop eligibility out there. And Action Bronson, of course, yo, his whole multimedia game and, you know, got his own show and all kinds of shit. I don't know, B. I'm just saying, he wanted to be a Khaled type. Now, look, could we all be wrong? Could we the album come out and this shit is full of fucking boom bap and we're like,
I'm not gonna bet on it. I ain't gonna bet on it because I don't know where it's gonna go. But I'm only betting on the fact that I'm probably gonna like it because I like his production. If it's more going towards a pop type of sound as far as niggas rhyming on there, but I like his production, so I'm probably gonna like it.
Right, that's real.
All right, guilty pleasure, real quick. If the Dallas Cowboy fans wouldn't have taken over that song, We Them Boys, I would have liked it. I would have liked We Them Boys. But I cannot mess with Wale, man. Kurt, you got a pocket full of passes, B.
No, it ain't a pass. Wale nice, B. Wale nice. I know you're not fucking with him, but that's not a pass for Wale. Wale ain't getting no pass. Wale is nice. Wale can spit a little bit.
I ain't got
no pass for him. My pass is for my peoples. Now, that's my guilty pleasure. My peoples is my guilty pleasure.
I'm going to get on the side of our dope boy over there. I'm not fucking with Wale, my nigga. I'm getting on the side of our dope boy over here. So,
all right.
So, we're at the portion of the show where you know how we do. It's Kurt G's World Famous Albums of the Week.
All right. This week, we got Handles 80, 90, 60. That's Handles 80, 90, 60. And then we got Dez Brennan, Don't Try This at Home. That's Dez Brennan, Don't Try This at Home. And our instrumental joint is Handbook Devotion. That's Handbook Devotion.
All right. Anything left over, Swervin?
Nah, man. You know, we got this. Supposedly, we got Rocknest coming up, coming on the show, hopefully, talk about his album, whatever else going on. And, of course, we always got to give props to the Hip Hop Digest show listeners. And thank you in advance for subscribing to the Hip Hop Digest YouTube page. Appreciate you.
Indeed. No doubt. And shout out to Rocknest. Just to let everybody know, yo, I hope he gets on. I hope we can make it happen. So, if it does, you know how we do. We get it done for you. I'm out. Peace.
Peace.
One.
My nigga fell in love with the street life early. The yoke, the dope, the boy, the girly. Nickel-plated mags with the handles all pearly. Sipping on E&J, twisting up Shirley. Recruited young, we was barely out of eighth grade. Breaking nights, breaking plates, chef in eighth grade. He had every pair of Jordans, older niggas jealous. All the girls adored him, a smart nigga. He had a whole lot of heart with him. A live nigga had a certain type of spark with him. Summer coming, so I got myself a little job. His money coming, so we got himself a little sob. A little nod from the fiends when he clocking. Eyes always open for the D's that be knocking. And double cross shice nigga schemes on his pockets. My road dog used to pick me up after work. We pop a clue tape in and we would go berserk. We would sit, we would trip, nigga, we would spit. He like my nigga for real, ayo, you got a gift. It's getting late, my G, ayo, I got a dip. And this bread dog, I gotta get. I gave him dap, that was that, and he was gone. That summer night was the last time I ever saw him. 15 and died on 21, hit a guardrail. The steel punctured his lungs. Still miss you, nigga. Real. real one.
Rap.
Damn.
A couple of my mans got popped. Some niggas got locked. Bustin' sides, crack rock. I'm stuck in a sock. My mom's left my pops. So I learned from the block to let that gun cock. Avoid the cops and rocks. Timmy locks. Take the web to the top side. I'm telling too much. The ripest of the grass and the Dutch. I bet you the fuck. My niggas used to ride around the town, a syndicate, while me and June was just bagging up the pounds. It's 1 ounce and 30 of them shits in the safe. Wasn't safe moving bass, numb your gum off taste. What a waste of life. I'm still eating off of bread from 05. Lucky just to be alive, I'm flipping. A couple cats died off of blood and crippin'. So what's the missing? Beans walking around with teeth missing. Dick sucking for a rock, a lot of ass kissing. And that's that. Relax and lay my hat down. But you could ask about my background. You could ask about my background. And how I wear the crown. Yeah.
Nah, it's just that, you know, we do a lot of these interviews and, you know, people is like, yo, that's a dope rhyme. And I was ill visual how you put that story together. But at the end of the day, these are people's lives. You know what I mean? Some consider this like the glory days of hip hop, you know, like, or the glory days of the crack era. But, you know, these stories is people's pain, people's loss. You know, this is tragedy. And, you know, we just happen to be the people that survived and was able to make it out and able to tell a story, you know. So, you know, and maybe the glory days of some, but, you know, for me, like, it's real life. You know, it's our life inside the music.
Ferg. Check it, check it, check it. Pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yo, what up, Neff, Neff?
See, this is Harlem East Side Street.
Turn the music back up.
Let's go.
I got with Primo, I'm just pressing the G-code. We on a new level with the C-notes. I'm from where kids hustle on a block and roll C-Lo. And niggas stay strapped like G-Bos. T-Nice with me week to week though. Life was different when they got him for that Rico. For a couple kilos, could've had him underground. He was living life illegal. Now we getting right in our pockets looking Chicho. Sipping cappuccino on the jet to cans. Couple models getting lit, they the best in France. Got Leonardo though, catch me if you can. We had to kill Beijing and next Japan, man. This be hot, I could catch a tan. My demographic in LA, all Mexican. I love my supporters, they keep the check in hand. So every time I get a chance, I'ma bless the fam. What up,
check
what
it,
up?
Check it, check it, pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yo, what up, Neff, Neff?
See, this is Harlem East Side Street.
Turn the music back up.
Check it, check it, check it. Pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yo, what up, Neff, Neff?
See, this is Harlem East Side Street.
Turn the music back up. Created a dream world. Slept with my dream girl. Brought mama that new house. Diamonds and mean pearls. Done went to Africa. Talked to the have-nots. Donated some uniforms. Teach them how to have guap. Primo put the soul in it. I make the track hot. And this thing forever. Got the game in the padlock. I just want something real. I'm tired of the ass shots. Don't wanna go to the club. I'm tired of them trap spots. My generation stuck on stupid. Showing guns on the gram, but no one use it. Sometimes I feel like I'm about to lose it, because the fake win when y'all know what the truth is. It's me, the F-E, R to the fucking G. My bars is gangstar, nobody can fuck with me. Rest in peace, guru, nobody can fuck with he. You rappers is cuckoo, better wake up out your fucking dreams.
Check it, check it, check it. Pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yo, what up, Neff, Neff?
See, this is Harlem East Side Street.
Turn the music back up.
Check it, check it, check it. Pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yo, what up, Neff, Neff?
See, this is Harlem East Side Street.
Turn the music back up.
Thank you.
psycho babble, microwaves. You are watching light travel with a mic on stage. I am 2 ticks quicker, 10 time zones ahead. I don't sleep when you home in bed. I'm in the fly Maserati, flying the Marathi out the Saudi just to watch him chop the head off the body. Gotta swap chips at the currency exchange. Customs kept frontin', I just fucking entertain. World wide open, the niggas are still local. They told us we had no voice, we still vocal. Told us we had no choice, we build moguls. Now they can't tell us shit, but still choke you. Live on camera, you dead in the street. Spectators like sex tapes ready to leak. You a bird ass nigga, I machete your beat. You getting tossed in the wok when I'm ready to eat. And I still rock champion hoodies and old Jordans. Never thought Givenchy was more important. Still roll up in the room with no smoking. Ain't no rules no more, the code's broken. I don't give a fuck no more, ain't no future. Ride through the city lit, listening to Luther. Death flow doesn't exist, it's fictitious. Rest of this shit is legit, it's just business. Spotify checks don't come on time. Profit off of hip hop, don't run on rhyme. Heard them saying don't sleep, only one online. We got a lot of Autobots trying to front on Prime, huh? So be it, I OD with the all spark. Chopper make Allahu Akbar eat a ballpark. What the fuck?
If you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk.
Bring it on if you think you can hang.
I'm hot, who wanna get burned?
Stay awake to the ways of the world. Don't sleep, don't
if you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk.
Bring it on if you think you can hang.
I'm hot, who wanna get burned?
Yeah. Stay awake to the ways of the world. But don't sleep, but don't
the beat is in my head. Streams of consciousness blacking out with my pen until the walls bleed red. On this underground shit, got it locked up like dreads. My diet low carb, but my pockets full of bread. And somebody with me got a hip full of lead. Just turned 50 and the rip you to shreds. It's diabolical, put a barrel in your esophageal. If you an obstacle, high off the tropical. Ain't no topical ointment for infections. Hollow lace with MRSA, murder is a blessing. Lyrical finesse and flow, my lethal weapon. Word to Big Daddy King, cause ain't no half-stepping. Write the smash sessions, built on past lessons. Repent my transgression, success was predestined with a microphone. Control the crowd, period. After the show, the crowd is more curious. Somewhat mysterious, mystical in the metaphor. Afro future, astral plane, my vernacular. Street folklore, spitting raw, take a bump. Get you Bobby Brown jaw, cause that raw what you want. Lyrically, I stunt, smoke MCs like blunts. And I still cash out every first of the month.
If you can't walk the
walk, don't talk the talk.
Bring it on if you think you can hang.
I'm hot, who wanna get burned?
Stay awake to the ways of the world. Don't sleep, don't
if you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk.
Bring it on if you think you can hang.
I'm hot, who wanna get burned?
Stay awake to the ways of the world. But don't sleep, but don't sleep, but don't sleep, but don't sleep.
My thoughts is doing dance.
Step to the mic with the big voice.
My spider crew turned
down. Intergalactic superpowers pulsating through my hands. My thoughts is doing dance.
Step to the mic with the big voice.
My spider crew turned down.
Intergalactic superpowers pulsating through my hands.
Word makes sense, superb word placement. My flow's patient, the world goes ape shit. Take this in like 2 spliffs on a late shift. Blaze this, raw underground for the basement. I curve the matrix, far past phenomenal. Gas like stars, rap large, astronomical. Your ass big, I bang like space dust. Particles collide with my fist thrust, your face bust. Deep impact. Give your head a shake, shape shift, my frame change when I resonate. Levitate on positive vibes, rhyme to meditate. Heavyweight hitter, stick and move like a featherweight. A buck 40, short on the muscle. But all I really need out is here four knuckles. A skinny motherfucker just throw the tussle. When the right hand flies, I'm holding his buck.
This is jungle law, raw when I hit the floor. Hard how we set it off, morgues out of open doors. Pure how we flood the shore, speaking till the speaker smoke. Leave it broke, meat cleavers like heat seekers, aiming them at your throat. Linguistic, tongue twisted, sun man, I'm dumb lifted. 16's been pristine zine, I was born different. Beat bully, the beat up into the composition. Keep distance, keep six, we watch and listen. Step by step, bit by bit, hold tight. to what you know, because your mind can slip and be like black ice. Symbolize the rap life for real. Set yourself back, hot for a minute, but disappear. Spark as I speak, inhale blunts deep. Before a cloud of smoke, ride a flow, literate my soul, let them know. The stress alone ain't been enough to get to me. 2017, time for true North legacy.
I'm mobbing on the beat like if Big Noid used it. I don't really fuck with many rap niggas out here. I feel like I'm the only rap nigga out here. Not a lot can handle the pressure. You could bet whatever's in your hand won't protect you. That's coming from the goddamn man who wrote the lecture. You ain't seen traffic till I jam a nigga's sector. Sandwich between cars, I bring bars that crush them. Scary part to that, I don't think hard as I touch them. But if I do decide to get a bit inspired to show a little anger, the danger gon' rise too. See the way that wise move, not many can do that. See me with my live crew, then you better move back. Hate is undeniable, we're living in that school cap. They plotting when your eyes close, I thought you niggas knew that.
I'm a tumor in the brain of the rap game. Insane, kick pain out your back frame. No joke, when I smoke, you gon' crack up. Murk your team, no need to call back up. Marsburg on the creep in the shadows. Slaughter competition, I don't never lose battle. War scarred and my heart is frozen. Rap fans only wanna chart the chosen. I spark explosion. This kid's dynamite. Used to flip pounds of cushion that China white. Hustle cause I gotta. I ain't tryna play with it. You wearing skirts, man, purses looking gay with it. Don't play the role if you don't live that life. I do a show, best believe they gon' pay that price. Fuck around and get your tooth knocked out. Niggas scared to death when my troops hop out.
My thoughts is too advanced. Intergalactic superpowers pulsating through my hands.
On a level too tense and intense for the senseless devil to revel at. Formats like that in my habitat. Diplomats couldn't be immune to the result of this rap tune. As we pump up the volume, no joke, inspire on to the heart of our competition. Then start the demolition. Tougher than the average, a savage, a rebel to society. Frying all brothers that's trying me. Mistake my identity, result this injury. Another brother deceased in attempts to injure me. I left remains of a perpetrator, illustrator of data hotter than the equator. As I dispersed one, rehearsed the firstborn, and brought another aspect to the way they reversed some. As I stated, a monster was created from dust. I came into dust, I'll be reincarnated. Indeed. Them, send a soul through the solar system. Gave us main man, no reason why we dismissed them. So we stepped, got some heart with the next man. Took a stand, but on the other hand I made one brother blind, the other became deaf. They saw no evil, heard no evil. Now I'm the only one left for my last breath before I send them past death. The sword of glory translates through the auditory into purgatory. Big Red worded the story as an ancient mythological, revered as an artifact, feared cause my heart is a part of rap. Identify the eye of the beholder. Listen close to what I told you. Thoughts become the scolder, yet attempts to stress me. Used to test me I seem to be forbidden, truth was hidden, so detest me. I used to look to boom as a remedy, consumed as it entered me, it built the stress. So I questioned its intent for me, another test unlike the rest. I stay true to this, non-believers run and grab your crucifix. But I'll burn it into ashes, the creature grows stronger as another one is activated. Captivated, cause the beast is rap related. As I stated, a monster was created from dust. I came into dust, I'll be reincarnated. Indeed.
Lately mimics with much madness.
You down Parkster, Big Red, the maniac street monster.
A monster mutilating mimics with much madness.
You down Parkster. Let my name be engraved on the hearts of rap fans dismissing me. We're enslaved by the industry, chained in the dungeon of rap. So pay homage, I'm the catalyst to release my crew from bondage. Darkness, hip-hop is surrounded, astounded, cause the spirit left the place where it was founded. But we remain, rap runs through our vein. Frauds live on as its only bloodstain. The breath of life was inhaled, so I give my devotion to destroy snakes to what I live by. Until the day of my departure, I'm a nail in the coffin for those that try to gain by portraying the form. In the end, all will mourn, most will look back in disgust on the day that they were born. Before the rising of the sun in the east, I'll return to the mist, disappear into hip-hop's abyss. Big Red is added to the list of targets for destruction, but I'm never on the run. So it is written, so it shall be done. As I'm instated, a monster is created from dust. I came into dust, I'll be reincarnated. Indeed.
A monster mutilating mimics with much madness.
You down Parkster, Big Red, the maniac street monster.
A monster mutilating mimics with much madness.
Monster.